And just say welcome to everybody. Welcome to those who have joined us here in the church, back again for the first time in a month. It's good to see you here. There are one or two others still expected to join us here. Welcome to those who have joined us online, whether that's on Zoom or on YouTube Live. It's good that we can be able to meet together like this as we come to praise God and to bring our worship to Him, as we come to seek Him in prayer, and as we come and hear the message of His word. We're going to begin this morning by coming to God in prayer, committing our time to Him, and to seeking Him. So let's bow before God in prayer. The psalmist writes, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving, and extol Him with music and song." Our Father, whilst we live in these days of restrictions because of coronavirus, and we have to keep our distance from one another and not allowed to sing here in this place, and others cannot come and join with us in fellowship, Father, we thank You that we can come and draw near to You. Thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne of heaven, and that He is interceding for us at Your right hand. And so as we trust in Him, we can come and draw near to You, and we can in our hearts bring our worship and make music and song in our hearts to You. Those at home can join in and sing along the songs that we have. And we do pray, Lord, that You would receive our worship, and that You would be glorified in all that we do this morning. Father, we thank You that as we draw near to You, so You look upon us and You see us as perfect in Your sight. You see Christ's perfect life of righteousness accounted to us. And we thank You too that all of our sins are covered by His blood, that His death on the cross is counted towards us and our sins are dealt with. And Father, we pray that this morning as we come and seek You, You would forgive us the sins of this day. You would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as You look upon us, You would see us as Your adopted heirs, those who are in Christ, part of Your kingdom, and that You would look upon us with favor to draw near to us and to bless us. Father, we do commit this morning and all that we do into Your hands, and pray that You would be blessing us as we hear Your word, as we sing Your praise, and as we seek You. And Father, that we would know that we have met this morning with the living God. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn. Oh, those of us who are here unfortunately can't sing, but we can hum along or just and sit and listen to the singing and the tune, and look at the words on the screen. The song is, "Come, people of the risen King, who delight to sing His praise." At home, you can join in. No one else will hear you, so do join in singing.
Oh,
those others who've joined us as we've been singing. I just want to talk for a little while to the children, but obviously the rest of you can listen in. But I've got some pictures I want to show you. As I show you these pictures, I want you to think about what they represent or what they are picturing, but also try and think about what the connection between each of the pictures is. So let me just try and share my screen. Okay, so the first picture, it's a bit blurry over there, but I wonder whether you can see that. Those of you, I can find the children on here. There we are. Rowan, and we've got Sean. I think Peter and Kakenga are around as well. So what's this picture of?
I have an idea.
Yes, what is it?
I think it's the Garden of Eden.
Why is it
not coming? It is, the Garden of Eden. Yeah, it's representing a special garden, the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve first lived before they rebelled against God. God placed them in that garden, didn't he? And another picture.
Let somebody else have a
go. I've literally said one answer.
Okay.
I don't even know what it is. You're telling me that's okay.
There's a special tent. Does anyone know what the tent was called? It's called the Tabernacle, and sometimes called the Tent of Meeting, and that's a clue. The Tent of Meeting is a clue to what these connection is between all of these pictures. And so what about this one? Can you work out what that is?
Is it a temple?
It's a temple, and it's a special building, a temple of Solomon, a representation of the temple that he built in Jerusalem as the tabernacle, the tent, was replaced by this special building. The tent, the temple in Jerusalem. And the next one, a bit different, but they're pictures that represent a special person. Who do you think they represent?
I have an idea.
Okay.
I think they represent Jesus.
That's right. They represent Jesus, don't they? Born and laid in a manger, and then crucified, and then buried, but then risen again, a special person. So we've had a special garden, a special tent, a special building, and a special person. And there's one more. What do you think this picture represents?
Matches.
What's happening here? I can hear the cogs whirring as you're thinking, but anyone got an idea? It says a special people. Can you see what's happening? Something coming down onto their heads. It's the church at Pentecost, isn't it? When the Holy Spirit came upon God's people as they were gathered together in the upper room in Jerusalem. The beginning of the church in Jerusalem. And the church has gone on since that day of God's Spirit-filled people. So can you think about what the connection is between all of these? So we've got the garden, special garden, a special tent, special building, special person, and a special people. Anyone able to think about what the connection might be between all of those different pictures?
I think I've got it.
Yeah?
I think it's because they're all special.
They're all special. Well done. They're all special. But the reason they're all special is another clue. When we think about Jesus and we think about his birth, we think about a name that he was given. It said they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And each of those pictures is a picture of where God was present with his people. So when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God came and walked with them in the cool of the and was present with his people, where he would dwell with them until they rejected him and they had to leave the garden. And then in the tabernacle in the desert and the temple in Jerusalem, that was the place where God came down and his glory filled each of those places so that he could dwell in the midst of his people. And then we saw Jesus, and his name is God with us, because he is the Son of God, and in the person of God, he came down to take on not a tent or a building, but a human body, human nature, in which he could dwell with his people, and God could be with his people. And then we saw the church, and we're reminded that God has now put his Spirit within the church so that he can dwell with his people, the church in the world today, by his Spirit. And so the connection is with them, with all of them, is that they are where God is with his people. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when we think about that. God is not a God who is distant, a God who is impersonal, but a God who is good and a God who is loving. And his purpose has always been that he should dwell with his people, that we can know him and know his presence with us, and that he could live with us and bless us and care for us. Imagine that. The Almighty God, the one who made everything and wants to know you and to you to know him, and for him to be able to dwell with us. And the only reason that that's possible is because Jesus came and died for us on the cross. God showed how much he loved us in that he could come and dwell with us. So do you know God with you to bless you and to keep you? And today we can know God with us when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and become his people. He comes and dwells with us by his Holy Spirit to bless us with his favor. And there's one more picture I want to show you, because it doesn't just end here with the church in this world, but there's a wonderful future that the book of Revelation talks about, of a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, that will be before the throne in heaven. And that's where we're headed if we're trusting in Jesus, that we will be part of that people. We will be in the very presence of God, and God will be with us forever and ever as we dwell with him in the new creation. So we have a loving and a good God, and he has that wonderful purpose of dwelling with his people. And we can know him dwelling with us as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. So we have to ask ourselves, is that what I'm doing today? Am I living by faith in Jesus so that I can know God with me? Well, Marion's going to come and read to us from the Bible. And you'll, if you listen carefully to our reading, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 to 23, you'll hear about how God is with his people today.
1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, for the world or life or death, for the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God.
So we heard there that we are to remember that we are God's temple as his people today, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes and dwells with us by his Spirit. We're going to come to God in prayer now, so let's just bow our heads as we come and seek God in prayer. Our Father God, we thank you that in your mercy we are able to meet back together again in this church building and see each other face to face. But we thank you too that There are people able to join us on Zoom and see one another, and people are also able to join with us on YouTube Live and to listen to the singing of your praise and to hear your word and to be joining in our prayers together. Father, we praise you for the news that we've heard in the last week or so of this vaccine that has been approved. Father, we thank you for those scientists and doctors who've been working on these vaccines around the world over these past few months. And we thank you for the way that these vaccines have been prepared and tested. And now we have one that is available to be used in this country. And Father, we do pray for the process of that vaccine being made available to people, particularly the most vulnerable in our society at present. Lord, we pray that that would be rolled out successfully beginning this week. We also want to pray, our Father, that these vaccines wouldn't be kept by the richer countries of our world, but Lord, that they would be shared with the developing countries and nations of our world, that those who are in circumstances that are much worse off than ours would also be able to benefit from what has been provided by your common grace to this world at this time. And Father, we pray that because of the use of vaccines over the coming months, we would see the restrictions that we face at the moment being lifted, that people would be able to meet together as families again, that churches would be able to sing your praise together as they meet in places where they can come together. And Father, that there'll be a more normal return to life again. And Father, we pray that we would make the most of those opportunities as they come along. And Father, we pray for your church at this Christmas time. Father, we pray that you would help us individually and as churches to be making the most of those opportunities there are for reminding people of the real meaning and the reason for Christmas, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great gift of your love to this world, so that you could dwell with your people, that we could be forgiven our sins, and that we could know your Spirit coming to dwell within us, and that we could have that great hope in our hearts that one day we will be in your presence for all eternity in the new creation, where there will be no more evil, no more suffering and pain, and that we will be in resurrected new bodies and in perfect character and spirit, dwelling with you and enjoying you for all eternity. Father, we pray that you would help us as individuals share this good news with other people around us. We pray for the opportunities we have for Christmas carol services online and for the Christmas Day service that we'll have online. And we pray that you'd help us to be inviting people to join in with those services, to be able to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to pray for other churches in our area who are making the most of opportunities. We do pray for Riverside Elim, who have got plans to do carol singing outdoors across the Wire Forest over these coming weeks. We pray that you would keep them safe, and Lord, that many people would be able to join in and think about the good news of Jesus that is contained within those carols. We think too of Christchurch Wire Forest. We thank you for the opportunity they have of doing an open air nativity in the school. And we pray that that would go well. Many children and perhaps parents as well would be able to just think about the truth of what happened that first Christmas when Jesus came into the world. We pray your Spirit would be at work and drawing people to yourself. Lord, we pray too for our fellow churches down in Worcester. We thank you for those that are part of our partnership in the FIEC. We pray for Wood Green Evangelical Church and for Manor Park. And we pray too for West Side Fellowship and for the Community Church in Warnden. Thank you for the plans that they have over Christmas, some to deliver Christmas boxes, some to have open air services, some to just meet online, some to be delivering leaflets and good news to people in their homes. Father, we pray for every effort that is on behalf of your people this Christmas time in reaching out to others with the good news of the hope of eternity with you in Christ. And Lord, that you would bless their work. And Father, as we think of these things, we want to pray for ourselves too. Trevor's asked us to pray for his brother-in-law, for Brett Knight, who is facing an operation for possible cancer tomorrow. Lord, he seems to have recently become a Christian, and we just pray that you would strengthen his faith as he faces this challenge in his life. We pray for the success of that operation, that if there is a problem, that they'll be able to sort it out and remove any cancer. And Father, we pray for a safe recovery. We pray for Trevor and for Nikki and for the rest of the family and their concern for him. Lord, that you would draw near to them and hear their prayers at this time. And we pray too for others amongst us. We thank you for answers to prayer for those who've received news of appointments to meet specialists this month or next month for concerns that they have about conditions that they experience. Lord, we pray that those would go well. They would receive the right treatment that is best for them at this time. We pray for others who are still waiting for appointments to come through. Lord, we pray that those would come through soon and their difficulties and struggles would be able to be treated. We pray too, Lord, we know this is a time where several of us are just struggling with not being able to meet up together. Our emotional, our mental, our physical health sometimes has been affected. And Father, we pray that you would draw near to each one of us and Lord, that you would strengthen those who are weak, that you would give peace to those who are anxious, that you would bring comfort to those who are grieving at this time. And Lord, that you would minister into our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your Spirit. We thank you too that we have your word and that we can hear your word together now. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would be opening our ears to the truth of your word, that you would be softening our hearts to be responsive to all that you have to say to us this morning, that our lives would be being transformed to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in his life of faith, and that we would go on living to honor you and be to the praise of your glory and your grace. So hear our prayers this morning in and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to another a song here, and again, you can join in at home. Just need to let a couple of people in who seem to have joined us. Okay, we're going to have the song "As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs After You."
So my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone will my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you
Okay, so what are we going to do with God's word that we've been listening to over these last 3 months? We've been hearing about the wisdom and about the power of God in the message of Christ crucified. That's going to be central to our lives and to our serving of the Lord in the building up of his church. Well, in these verses that we've read this morning, what we discover is that Paul actually summarizes three ways in which he expects the church in Corinth, and so us today, as we listen to God's word, to be applying it to our lives. So there are three things I want us to see this morning as we think about how do we apply God's word that we've been listening to over these past few months to our lives today. And first of all, we see that we are to know the truth of what the church is. We are to know the truth of what the church is. That's in verses 16 and 17. You may think, well, that's a very simple, a very gentle application of what Paul has been teaching. But actually, in the context of Corinth, it was a very challenging application to their lives. You see, the Christians in Corinth were very proud of what they thought they knew. They thought they were wise. They thought they were enriched by God in all of their knowledge. And Paul writes about that in chapter 1 and verse 5. Maybe you're a bit like that. You're proud of what you think you already know as a Christian. Maybe you've come across Christians in your life who think they've got Christianity as a system of knowledge all sewn up. The trouble is that when we think we've got knowledge, we very quickly become proud and we begin to look down upon other Christians who don't know as much as us. And particularly we pick up on minor differences with other people that they don't know what we think we know. And we can be guilty of dividing the church. And what we see in Corinth, by the way, that these Christians were actually dividing the church because they were thinking that they knew which was the best Christian leader to line up behind and to have as their favorite leader in the church. And they would look down upon those who were going along and saying, no, we prefer this other teacher instead of the one that you're following. And so it shows that in their dividing of the church, they didn't really know and understand the truth about what the church really is. And they didn't understand just how seriously God takes that truth about his church. In dealing with the wrong thinking of the Corinthians, Paul has actually already told them about spirituality and about the main work of the Holy Spirit. And then back in chapter 2 and verse 12, he said this: we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now, Paul there makes clear, doesn't he, that we have received the Holy Spirit from God. And that work of the Spirit primarily is to be able to give us that understanding of God's truth. And he makes clear here, as he talks to the church, and he sums up the application of these matters, what it means for the church to have received the Holy Spirit. And it's important for Christians to know this truth. He says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you?" The word "you" there and in these two verses is the plural. It's not just individually. Paul is not saying each one of you have received the Spirit. That is true. But what he is speaking of here is the Holy Spirit dwelling in the midst of God's people in the local church as we meet together. Here Paul is speaking of the local church as Christians collectively, and he's saying that God now dwells in our midst by his Spirit, so that the local church is the temple of God, his dwelling place with his people in that particular place in the world at that time. Now, if you think about how this would have been heard by the Christians in Corinth, the Gentile Christians in Corinth would have been very familiar with the multiplicity of temples to all the various Greek and Roman gods that would have been situated all around their city. So they were used to the idea of there being lots and lots of temples and lots of different gods. But those who were of a Jewish background who knew the Old Testament would have known that there was only ever one tabernacle. That God didn't give a different tabernacle for the different tribes of Israel, but they had one tabernacle where he would come and dwell in the midst of his people. For those who live later on in Jerusalem or in Israel, there was only ever one temple built in Jerusalem. The Israelites did disobey God and they had different other places where they would go and try and worship God, but God said, no, there is to be one place where he would dwell with his people in the midst of his people, and that would be in Jerusalem and in the temple that Solomon had built for them. And the trouble the Corinthian Christians, when they were dividing the church by taking on different leaders and saying, well, that's my favorite leader, that's what I'm going to follow, they were acting as though they were like the world with their many different temples. They were almost saying to the world that Christianity is no different from the world. That we could just divide up and we can have our different groups and that's fine. And Paul says, no, know the truth about the church. Know that the church is the temple of God, where God dwells with his people by his Spirit. And it is wrong to be dividing the church. It's a very serious matter to divide the church. You see, Paul, we saw last time in the previous verses, had already warned those who build the church in any other way apart from following the pattern of his ministry of preaching Christ crucified and living a life, taking up his cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that they will suffer loss when they get to heaven. They will get to heaven because they're living by faith in Jesus Christ, but they will suffer loss. He'd warned them that. But now he goes on to warn that those who have been warned, but go on dividing the church, perhaps dividing themselves apart, away from the church, will find themselves guilty in God's eyes of destroying the church. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, because if people destroy the church, the temple of the living God, then it says God will destroy them. Failure to know and to honor the church as God's temple, his dwelling with his people in a particular place in the gathering of the local church, is a very serious matter in God's eyes. So as we conclude our hearing of God's word from these chapters, will you apply what you've been hearing to your own life by knowing that the Spirit comes and dwells with God's people so that we can understand God's word? But that means that we are God's temple, the meeting place of God with his people. And will you know just how seriously God takes the fact that his church is his temple? Will you consider carefully your attitude and your actions towards the local church? Maybe for some of you that will mean it's time to consider actually joining and committing yourself to be a part of a local church. If you become a Christian recently, or you've been a Christian for some time, but you've never committed yourself to serving the Lord together with his people. Maybe for some, you are members of the church, but actually that doesn't really mean very much in practice in your life at the moment. And you need to commit yourself to being an active part of the local church. Maybe part of the difficulty is relationships with particular other people in the local church, and you need to put those relationships right rather than dividing off from those people. You need to seek the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And for us together as a local church, we need to be willing to make real our unity with other local churches who hold to the message of Christ crucified and follow the pattern of Paul's ministry, so that we can work together with them in gospel partnership, rather than saying, well, they're different to us because they don't believe this little particular issue that we believe, and they do things differently. No, God takes seriously what it means for his church to be his temple, where he dwells with his people. And we need to take that seriously in our lives, not destroying the church, not dividing the church, not dividing off from the church to be our own little sort of church on our own as an individual. That doesn't please God. So will you think how you will apply God's word, knowing what the church is, the temple of God, and that God takes that seriously and will destroy those who seek to destroy his church by dividing his church. The second main application Paul gives here is don't go on deceiving yourself about worldly wisdom. Don't go on deceiving yourself about the world's wisdom. Verses 18 to 21. You see, the reason that the Corinthians were dividing the church is because they thought very highly of the wisdom of their society around them. They were in danger of dividing and destroying the church because they thought far too highly of the latest ideas and philosophies that were going on in their society. I think if those Corinthian Christians were around in the church today, they would be prizing some of the unfounded ideas of critical theory and queer theory that have slowly weaved their way into our society over the past half century or more. And these things are now embedded in our society. They're false. And yet they are embedded into our education system. They're embedded into our media and into much of our government. The church has to be careful that it doesn't think highly of such worldly wisdom. And sadly, there are Christians today who are pursuing some of these theories that are out there in our society and pushing them upon the church. I was reading even in this past week, there are people in positions of responsibility in one particular denomination that are saying that Christians who hold to a biblical teaching on sex and human identity are a safeguarding danger to children. Those who hold to biblical teaching on sex and identity are a safeguarding danger to children, and they should be policed and perhaps even criminalized. That's someone within the church. Can you see how it destroys the church? It tears the church apart when we think too highly of the world's wisdom and we bring that into the church. We live in very challenging times for the church in our society today. We need to make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves about the world's wisdom and so end up destroying the church by following that wisdom rather than following the wisdom of God in the message of Christ crucified. You see, the problem for us is that, as Jeremiah taught, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now, even though as Christians we have new hearts, that's a wonderful blessing of God, isn't it? He's given us a new heart by his Holy Spirit coming and dwelling within us. Something of the old thinking and the old ways of the deceitful heart are still there within us. And they love to rear their head. And they love to try and persuade us that we should follow the world's wisdom, because that's the most comfortable way of living in our society today. Just go along with what the world says and no one will bother you. And we don't like to be bothered. We like to have an easy life. We like to do well in the world. And so we deceive ourselves. We allow that old thinking, those old ways within us, to deceive ourselves about the world's thinking. And we say it's okay to accept that or this idea, and we go along with it. But Paul says we don't need to deceive ourselves about harmful ideas that fallen humanity come up with in their rebellion against God. We have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's work is to give us an understanding of what God has given us. And what has God given us? He has given us his word. And very clearly in his word in the Old Testament, God has made it known what he thinks of the world's wisdom. In Job chapter 5 and verse 13, one of Job's not so comforting comforters states the truth about God when he says, "He, God, catches the wise in their craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are swept away." And in Psalm 94 and verse 11, the psalmist says, "The Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile." In other words, God has said in the Old Testament that the wise of the world come up with their ideas of rebellion against God and his ways. They're like hunted animals. They're crafty. They're trying to escape from God's clutches. But God, like a skilled hunter, hunts them down. He knows their craftiness. He is far wiser than they. And he will not let them escape. And he will bring them under his judgment. What's more, the philosophies and the theories of the world that exclude God, that exclude the truth of his word about himself, about humanity and what we are like, and about what he has revealed about how we are to live under his way for the best in our lives. He says all of those other philosophies, all of those other ideas, they are futile. They're empty. They're like a mist that just disappears. They seem to be there and permanent for a moment, but then they're gone. Why? Because they are not true, and they will be swept away by God's judgment. They are folly, and they cannot save humanity from the coming of God's judgment upon the world. Now, what right Christian in their right mind, who knows God's attitude to the wisdom of this world, is going to want to deceive themselves and follow the wisdom of the world in the way that they live and the things that they teach? How can we stop deceiving ourselves about the world's wisdom and ending up dividing the church, maybe even destroying the church and ourselves coming under God's judgment? Well, clearly what we need to be doing is to be filling our minds, filling our lives with the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that is found in the message of Christ crucified. That's the message of the whole Bible. That's what the Bible's all about the coming of Jesus into the world to die on the cross for the sins of his people, to give his spirit to come and dwell within us so that we can live for God, forgiven our sins, and have a hope for eternity. It's that message and the application of that message that is the wisdom of God, so that we do not deceive ourselves. We don't let the old in us to overtake us and to persuade us to go along with the world's ways. Instead, we know the truth of God's ways, and we fill our minds and our lives with his message. So, are you doing that? Maybe for some of you who are newer Christians, maybe you want to sign up for the Disciples of Explored group that we hope to be running in the new year that Kevin's planning. Maybe that's the thing you need to do to be able to ground yourself in the Word of God and to know how to live as a Christian, feeding yourself on God's words. Maybe for others, there needs to be a renewed commitment to meeting together as God's people, to be hearing God's word regularly and studying God's word. It'll mean spending time on your own, reading and studying God's word. Maybe you need some help with that. There are plenty of good books that myself or otherwise and older Christians can point you to help you to study God's word and to understand the truth that God has for you in the gospel. Let's be doing that so we don't deceive ourselves about the world's wisdom. It is folly and it is fatal to those who follow it. So two applications that Paul has given us so far, the not deceiving ourselves about the world's wisdom and knowing the truth about the church. And the final application that he brings to this teaching that he's giving to the church in Corinth is simply this: don't boast in people. Don't boast in people, verses 21 to 23. Paul says, so no more boasting about men. Well, boasting here, Paul doesn't just mean saying, you know, just speaking well of them. Paul is actually talking about hero worship. He's saying, you know, no more hero worship of other ordinary people in this world. It's a bit like those who put their hope in a particular politician or a particular political party or in their favourite sports stars to give them a buzz on a Saturday afternoon or their social media influencer to make them feel good about themselves. It's that they sort of put them on a pedestal and they make them the controlling factor in their lives. And that's what the Corinthian Christians have been doing. When they were lining up behind their favorite Christian leader, they were putting them on a pedestal. They were making them their hero to worship them. Paul is saying that behavior displays ignorance about the truth of the church because it divides the church. It is following worldly wisdom because that's the way the world works. It comes up with all these ideas and actually they end up just dividing people from each other. And Paul says, cut it out. No more boasting in other people. Let there be no more hero worshiping of others within the church. You see, the thing about worship, and that includes hero worship, is that what you worship, you serve. What you worship, you serve. You may not realize it, but that's the reality. What you worship is what you serve. The thing or the person that you worship becomes your Lord, and you become their slave or their servant. You will find yourself submitting your thinking, your lifestyle, what you do and when you do it to what they've got to say or to the power of their control over your life. Now, that's fine if you're worshiping the one who is the true God, if you're worshiping the one who has your good in mind, if you're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's able to give you life to the full and true freedom. But to worship anything else is madness, and it leads to slavery. But becoming a Christian, rather than making you belong to and be a slave to anybody else, like the leaders in the church, however great their role is in God's purposes in the life of the church, it means actually becoming a Christian means that they now belong to you. They are there to serve you. Christian leaders are here to serve the church, to do good in building up God's people. not to control your life, not to impose restrictions upon your life. No, they are to be serving you, building you up, because they now belong to you. And Paul says it's not just Christian leaders that now belong to you. Everything else in the world belongs to you as well. Anything else, everything else in the world, even your own life, even your death, even time, all have now become your servants and no longer your masters. Because you now belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God, and everything belongs to him. So everything belongs to you now. Maybe you live your life at the moment worrying about things. Maybe you worry about money. Maybe you worry about having the right clothes. Maybe you worry about having the best job. Maybe you worry about your health. Maybe you have a fear of death. And these things that crush you with anxiety, they're controlling your life, not letting you have the freedom to live the way that God wants you to live. Maybe time has become your master. You've succumbed to the tyranny of the urgent, as someone once termed it. As a Christian, that's an upside down way of thinking and living. By faith, you are in Christ and belong to him, and he is your Lord. And because Christ is in God, he belongs to God, and is in very nature God, and he is the creator and the ruler of all things. So now all things that belong to him are now also yours. They are there to serve you as you serve Christ. You're not to allow those things to rule over you by worshipping them, by making them your idol, by making them your hero. Because if you do that, they simply become your controlling master in life. When Christ has set you free and everything belongs to you, to be able to use in service of him. Belonging to Christ, you want to use your life, even your death, in serving him. You want to use your money, your job. You want to use your time, not to be slave to it, but to serve Christ. It all belongs to you because it all belongs to him for his service and his glory. So don't make idols out of people. Don't make idols out of anything, not even your life, your death, or anything else. These things belong to you to serve you as you serve Christ in the world today. Don't hero worship anyone as a Christian, not even good church leaders. Don't enslave yourself to anything in this world as a Christian, except to Jesus Christ as Lord. Worship and serve him. And as you do that, listen to his word so that you will know the truth and not deceive yourself about the wisdom of this world, so that you will know the truth about the church and have a right attitude and behavior towards the church, not dividing the church by going your own way. That's what we're to do. What are we to do with what we've been hearing? Well, those three simple things, Paul says, are the main applications of his message to the Corinthians in those three chapters. Make sure you know the truth about the church and how seriously God takes it. It is his temple. Make sure that you don't deceive yourself about worldly wisdom. Know what God thinks of it, and it's under God's judgment. So don't follow it. And don't hero worship others or put anything else as the ruling factor in your life, except Christ and him crucified. And under him, all these other things belong to you to be used in your freedom as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be doing these things in your life in response to God's word? Let's pray. Our Father God, it is so often tempting to simply be hearers of the word and not doers of the word, because doing is hard. It means making change in our lives. It means doing things differently from the way that we used to do them. And Father, we sometimes don't like change and we don't like doing things differently. So Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us not just to hear your word this morning, but also to be those who are doers of your word, applying the message of your word to our lives. Help us to go away from today and to be thinking more deeply about your word and the truth of your word about the church as your temple, the place where you dwell with your people by your Spirit, an undivided church. And we pray that you would help us to make sure that we don't divide the church and be at risk of destroying the church by our divisiveness or dividing off from the church. Father, we would honour the church and be a part of it, seeking to be united with one another in love. Father, we pray that you'd help us to be listening to the truth of your word and knowing what you really think about the world's wisdom. As the world promotes its different ways of thinking about humanity and about relationships and about what we're really like and how we can live, Father, we pray that we would know your understanding of those things, that they are futile, they are under your judgment, and help us to want to fill our lives with the wisdom of God as we study your word, as we know the message of Christ crucified more and more in its application to our lives, that we might live by your wisdom and your wisdom alone. And Father, we pray that you would help us not to take other gods, whether they be other people in the church even, or things or time or even our own lives, thinking that we have to control them so they take over our lives and we aren't left free to serve you as we should. Help us to know Christ as our Lord and to wonder at the glory that everything that belongs to him now is ours, and that we can have authority over it in a sense, to be able to serve you and to bring glory to your name. Father, we pray that you'd help us to have this right thinking as we've been listening to your word, that we would live and be the people that do honour you and serve you in the world today, and that Jesus will be lifted high and his name would be glorified. Hear our prayers, we pray, in his name. Amen. We're going to listen to a closing hymn, and you can sing along at home, and it's Love Divine, all love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down. Let's share the grace as we close. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God,
and
the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with all God's people now and forevermore. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us today. Those who are here will have to just carefully make their way out, remembering we're not supposed to be socialising with each other apart from those in our own household within the building. For those on Zoom, do stay and chat with one another, as Phil will put you into a breakout groups. Just to remind you that next week in the morning, we'll be meeting here and online on Zoom or on YouTube, and Phil will be leading us in a communion service. There won't be a children's talk in the first part of the service, but we'll be having communion, and Phil will be leading that. And then in the evening, we have our online family carol service, which the Children's Monday Club will be taking part in that. If you haven't got a leaflet, there are some leaflets available. If you want to invite them, there are some down here at church, or just contact me and I can let you have them. If you want some to take away here to give to neighbours and friends, then there are plenty on the table on the way out. So thank you for joining with us, and God bless you and be with you through the week ahead.